Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is daily news time over on Red Men News Channel, and we today are brought to you in association with The Athletic. You can get a 7-day free trial and 50% off your yearly subscription to The Athletic, the new home of football writing, by going to www.theathletic.co.uk/Red Men News. Today I am joined by one Mr. Ross Chanley, and it's a very strange Red Men News for us, really, isn't it? It's just me and you in the office. We're the only people who are well at the moment. We are self-isolating next to each other in a weird roundabout type of way. There's no one behind the camera. All the equipment's new. We've never used it before, so we're attempting this. This is our first time. And you know, this may never see the light of day. And the second time, I will say this is our second time, and that may see the light of day. But we are here, and
if we're going down, we're going down together.
Well, that's it, isn't it, mate? And look. It's a mad, mad situation that we're in at the moment, and there's loads of Liverpool talk that we're going to get to, but we're going to start with something from Simon Hughes in The Athletic, who's aptly titled piece is called "Ignore Brady's Self-Incest, This is a Chance to Revolutionise Football." And what I particularly like about this is it's a great story, first and foremost, and it talks about a lot of the different options, Ross, that we could take, but I'm just going to read from the screen currently. Presently, all options remain on the table about the future of English season, at least. Several have suggested to me that the situation provides the opportunity to revolutionise football for the better by shifting the calendar altogether, making it a summer competition rather than one that stretches across the whole winter. Would it be the worst thing if it was agreed by UEFA and all the leagues that we gave the rest of the year to finish this season, one director asked, suggesting it would potentially allow every club competition across Europe, including the Champions League, to get things done in the right way. Euro 2020 looks increasingly likely to be delayed, and UEFA are already considering the option of moving the tournament to the winter, a decision which would help restructure the calendar and give the 2019-20 season a better chance of finishing while not interrupting what follows. For what it's worth, I think this is a sensible suggestion that deserves proper discussion given the possibilities that the current landscape presents. Coronavirus has proven that it is an island not immune from the world's problems, and put simply, the show cannot always go on. It's a bit of a mad one, this, Ross, isn't it? Because, you know, we've heard about voiding the league, we've heard about playing the rest of the league behind closed doors, we've heard about the competitions all coming in line and changing. We know the World Cup's going to be next year, and yet we're here. There's a 24-hour news cycle. Red Men's got to exist. We're going to still make content and stuff. But ultimately, you know, as much as I want Liverpool to win the league this season, this is a crazy time, and we've all just got to take a step back and think about what we're doing.
Yeah, I think it's difficult as a fan, and obviously, as you just said, it's our livelihood here, isn't it, to take that self-interest of going, I'll just finish the league season off, because we all want Liverpool to win the league, but also, you know, we have stuff to go and make. But ultimately, it's the health and safety of everyone else. It's the knock-on effect that it has and the repercussions it has on non-league football teams, you know, the whole ecosystem of football. It's just mad. I love that suggestion, but when have you ever seen evidence before of all these governing bodies talking to each other? Yeah. How many times has Jurgen Klopp said, just have a conversation with each other? So even that seems it seems sensible, but it seems really far-fetched at the minute to go, oh, actually, can you all sit down and have a sensible discussion of what is beneficial to everyone? And then there's the other side of it. You know, we spoke at the table before of, you know, the money that's in it. Hmm. Not for, for the football teams, for the TV rights, broadcasters, you know, the players' wages, the people that work day to day in those things. I've seen a few clubs, like Brighton was one of them on Saturday, saying they're going to pay their match day staff regardless, which is good, but not all clubs can afford to go and do that. So it's about approaching it.
I can't, you know, a lot has been made about voiding the competition. Obviously, Liverpool fans are up in arms, and you know, everybody, nobody wants to see the league voided and Liverpool not get the title that they so truly deserve, to be honest with you. And the reason I can't see that happening, and again, I don't want to add fuel to the flames here in any way, shape or form, but, you know, a lot of clubs can't afford to just sacrifice 10 games. You know, they're going to be paying players' wages. They're going to be paying ground staff. They're going to be paying people who work at the stadium and people who work at the training facilities. And that's a huge sum of money. And, you know, the commercial revenues aren't going to be as good or as strong in this time. So for me, it seems like the football clubs would be mad to even just think, let's just cancel the rest of the season. I think they'll want to play the rest of the season.
Yeah, on a wider scale, and something which has been mentioned a few times, is the mental health approach to it. You know, it's escapism for a lot of people. It's a chance to connect with other people and talk to people about football. I know we do it as a living, but people that are, you know, maybe perhaps a bit more lonely, or their only thing at the weekend to look forward to is going to the football with their mates, or, you know, being with a group of other people. I think you have to take that into consideration as well, rather than just kind of dismissing it and go, it's just football. I mean, it is to some people, but also it's a lot more important to that.
It is mad. So we're going to talk about some of the other football news stories, I suppose. And the big one at the moment is, you know, I'm reading from the Daily Star now. Liverpool in advanced talks to extend Jeannie Wijnaldum's contract. Dutch midfielder has become an integral cog in the Reds' midfield engine room, and boss Jürgen Klopp wants him to extend his four-year Anfield stay.
He's without midfield,
right? I know, I saw that. That's a bit strange, but it is the Star, so we're just going to have to accept it.
Okay.
Liverpool are in advanced talks, blah, blah, blah. The midfielder who signed for the Reds for $25 million in 2016 has proven valuable. He scored 18 goals and 177 goals. The Athletic journalist David Ornstein reported in January that Liverpool were not averse to the thought of selling the former PSV Eindhoven ace this summer. But despite the interest in Wijnaldum from teams in Italy and Spain, his current employees now want to tie him down on a new long-term contract, according to Italian journalist Nico Shearer, who tweeted, Liverpool are advanced talk to extend Wijnaldum's contract, expires in 2021 until 2023, with an option of another year. Hashtag transfers, hashtag LFC. This is just boss, isn't it? This is what you want to see. We know how important Gini Wijnaldum is to us, and, you know, I think every Liverpool fan wants him to extend this stay at the club.
Yeah, and I think Maddox said it when he was in last season, you know, no other option but to extend it. I think, again, it came down to his age and length of contract. I'm sure he'll resolve that. He's, you know, one of the world's best clubs at the minute. Where'd you go from Liverpool? He's getting regular game time. You know, he's scoring vital goals for us. You know, it's a shame he went out of the Champions League, but, you know, it just shows how important he is going forward and defensively for Liverpool.
how much would he cost to replace? You mean, you're probably talking a £70-80 million midfielder there, and one who knows the system so well.
That's the only question. If you're looking at it, it depends what Liverpool want to do in the summer, or, you know, or a bit longer than that now, depending on what happens with the league, that all might get moved, but, you know.
Well, that's only the other thing, players' contracts. They all run out in frigging June.
Yeah.
You know, or the end of June, don't they? And the season carries on. What's going on? Yeah. And then there's the transfer window open. Anyway,
but again, if Liverpool have plans to, say, bring in like a Kai Havertz, does Gini then go, well, my game time there is reduced significantly because, you know, it's one of the positions that I might take up. I'm sure we have been in these discussions with Liverpool and what his future plans are. And again, it comes down to his personal opinion. Yeah, he looks really happy at Liverpool. But the other thing that Durham will say on that thing is, like, it's alright to tweet it because there is no other news, is there really?
I know, but we're here talking about it, so I don't want to sound too bad, like, you know what I mean? But I feel like we've got a responsibility to people who watch the show. That's why I want to be here.
No, what I'm saying is, like, I'm sure that'll be happening, but because there's nothing else going on.
He's just brought them forwards. Yeah. The contact news, Liverpool have been like, all right, we've got nothing else to do, mate, so do you want to come in? I mean, we'll do it over Skype if that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, it is what it is. And listen, Tottenham and Arsenal haven't shut down shop, as it were, because apparently Tottenham and Arsenal are in a transfer battle for Dejan Lovren as Liverpool set a price tag. Tottenham boss Mourinho has joined Arsenal Lazio in a transfer battle for Liverpool defender Dejan Lovren, with Jürgen Klopp demanding at least $80 million for his out-of-favour centre-back as Spurs look to sign a replacement for Jan Vertonghen. I'd be really surprised if he went to Spurs. I wouldn't be so surprised if he went to Arsenal. I definitely wouldn't be surprised if he went to Lazio. He's a good centre-half.
He is, but is he a Mourinho signing? Is that why you wouldn't? Do you think he'd go to Spurs?
Yeah, no, no. I don't think so.
I mean, to be fair, there's a lot of players in the Premier League that would improve Arsenal's defence at the minute, isn't there? And again, as long-term serving Premier League defender, you're right. You know, our standards are raised so much now. Where you think if you went to an Arsenal, Spurs, or something like that, because he's so good, he'd probably shine in those teams, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I actually maybe a Mourinho side it would suit him. You know, he's going to sit back with
someone in front of him,
a couple of people in front of him, not looking to try and get the ball or whatever. It wouldn't surprise me if Lovren did go this summer. I think, you know, it's probably time his Liverpool career came to a close naturally. You know, I don't think he'll be forced out the door. I think Jürgen would probably keep him around again, but he hasn't been able to give him the first team football that he probably wants and probably deserves, to be honest, Dejan.
We just think himself.
Bad of him, but yeah, he does. There's nothing wrong with that,
No. No, that's what I'm saying. Those clubs were suiting because he's thinking, well, if I go somewhere else, I'm playing for one of the best clubs in the world, why should I go, you know, a mid-table team or something like that, or, you know, Everton?
That's it. Like, if you had to put money on Lovren leaving, would you?
I think he'll leave this summer, but I think he'll go to a Serie A side or something like that.
You wouldn't think Tottenham?
No, I just don't think Mourinho would fancy him. No. But again,
Arsenal? You could see him at Arsenal?
Yeah, I could do, yeah. I'm not sure how much he'd improve them. I mean, he would improve them, but also there's liabilities in that defence anyway, so I think Arsenal needs to
get used to it.
But I think Arsenal
needs to. They'd be fuming Arsenal fans if they signed Lovren.
But who else can Arsenal go and get?
I don't know.
We've seen, like, you know, you want a good defender might be available is Koulibaly, and he's more likely to go to a...
It's not going to Arsenal.
Exactly.
Why would you go to Arsenal? Liverpool miss out on major staff appointment after change of heart. This day and age, Liverpool are still searching for a replacement for departed head of medical services, Andy Massey, after a last-minute change of heart from Arsenal doctor Gary O'Driscoll. O'Driscoll was set to take over from Massey following his move to take up a prominent role with FIFA at the beginning of March. But apparently, according to This Is Anfield now, O'Driscoll has had a heart-to-heart with Mikel Arteta and decided to stay at Arsenal. It's a bit of a mad one, this, now, isn't it? Richie Partridge has also just left Liverpool to join the Qatar national team, while fellow first-team physio Christopher Robeck is in line for an exit at the end of the campaign. It's mad. And The Athletic's David Ornstein reports the Irishman has a change of heart and will now remain with Arsenal following an impassioned plea from Mikel Arteta.
Arsenal haven't got the fucking house in order and have had no one to replace him, have they? Liverpool have really got it organised themselves, or, you know, they were off the field. It's also going to be really difficult to try and get hold of a doctor in the current climate that we're in now.
They're asking for stupid money, aren't they, at the moment?
Well, stupid money, but, you know, do you take a doctor away who's, you know, trying to look after other people in this situation that we're all in? It's just a mad one, isn't it? Where'd you go and get a doctor from now? Like, how much you do?
There's probably going to be a lot of overworked doctors in the NHS.
There is. And not just that, you know, you want someone who's... You know, O'Driscoll was, you know, touted as being one of the best in experience and stuff like that. You know, you can't just rock up to another club in the Premier League or, you know, within football and go, actually, we'll just have him. It's much more complicated than that. So, but again, Liverpool are an attractive prospect off the field, so maybe we have that in our favour.
Liverpool will find someone. I don't think it's anything that needs to be worried about. Liverpool will find someone, and if he's from football or if he's not from football, or it could be another sport or whatever. But again, we might not find out for a little while.
Also, what if Klopp just rings him and, you know, Klopp makes a play? You're not saying no to Jürgen Klopp, are you?
Take him to Blackpool, won't he?
Yeah.
A story that I added pretty late. Premier League ruling could deny Liverpool title at crisis meeting. Now, you know, the title is made for Liverpool fans to click on this.
But
there is going to be a crisis meeting of the Premier League clubs where all the options are discussed. So in that regard, a Premier League ruling could deny Liverpool a title, or it could hand Liverpool a title, or it could postpone the Premier League. We just don't know. And again, I don't want to talk too much about the ramifications, because I think people talking about it just makes everybody feel a little bit worse. I just wanted to highlight this story and just say that, you know, wait until you hear something concrete.
I'll say this, like, I saw a clip from Sky Sports News at the weekend, and they were like doing something similar, going, oh, I've spoken to one person and this might happen, and obviously they're short on news because there's no sport at all, hardly.
We've got an entire channel devoted to it, 24 hours a day.
They're trying to sensationalise it. And I sat back and thought about it, and then I watched Sky News, it was at my mum and dad's the other day, and they did something very similar. But then I watched a report somewhere else who said the complete opposite, and I was like, well, you're obviously a Murdoch company, so you're going to want to peddle that agenda of, like, you know, like you said, not for little fans to click on, but to wind them up. Same reason that Karen Brady said that thing the other day, which she quickly backtracked on. She spoke to the Sun, and obviously she was after, you know, her own interest in that sense, but nothing is decided yet, as you just said. There's going to be a several meetings between UEFA, all the governing bodies, and then something will be decided. So it's all speculation.
So the mad thing for me is, why does a season that hasn't had any games, why are people trying to suggest that that takes preference over a 75% complete season? Like, why does next season's take preference in a lot of people's eyes to one that we've played nearly 30 games of?
Because it's looking after your interest, isn't it? If you're West Ham, for example, well, you're 3 points off the relegation zone, let's just forget about this one. We'll go again next season. But if you're in the bottom three, you're thinking, well, there's 10 games left. I could have made that chance to get out of the relegation battle. And then, again, it's the repercussions of money. You know, what do you lose in that? You know, if you're Leeds and West Brom in the top two of the Championship, you're thinking, well, I want to get promoted. If you're in the playoffs now, and you go, well, actually, sorry, we're
just going to seems like
two.
There's going to be loads of lawsuits flying around, whatever you decide. I think Liverpool's situation is the easiest, to be honest, to resolve. Liverpool are going to become league champions.
But also, you know, no one's really mentioned this. If Man City have still got the UEFA Champions League ban, well, they're irrelevant anyway. So it's not just the top five. You're looking, like, in the next spot for who takes the Champions League space, and you're thinking, well, there's a couple of points in it. You know, what teams are you looking at? Wolves, Sheffield United, Man United. They could say, oh, actually, we could have got a Champions League spot then. They might miss out on it.
It's absolutely mad, isn't it? I mean, it's like the world is almost unrecognisable to last week. And yet, in a week's time, I think it's going to be unrecognisable again to what we're sitting in today to discussion.
Yeah. Even countries. I was watching the news this morning, and you're just thinking what's going on in Spain, Italy, and you're thinking that's conceivably going to happen here.
We've said that. You know, we've been talking about it in the office for, you know, a long spell now, and we knew that we were 13 and a half days behind Italy. You know, what are we going to be like in 5 days? You know, our parents, like my parents, you know, they're already self-isolating because they've been told to by the doctors, and that's not even the government coming down and saying it. And, you know, it's just mad. And in all this, I think what it brings to me is that there has to be a community spirit. And one news story showcasing that is that Liverpool have backed fan support and food banks with a £40,000 donation during the league suspension. The cancellation of matches threatens a significant impact on North Liverpool Food Bank, which receives approximately 25% of its donations from match day collections. The Reds' first team squad and LC Foundation have committed to jointly donating £10,000 per game for the four remaining league fixtures scheduled to be played at Anfield in 2019-20. To ensure the food bank can continue to function. The club will make a cash donation to the North Liverpool Food Bank, while excess food at Melwood and Anfield will be donated, and Liverpool staff will continue to support the initiative throughout the internal donations. And Ross Henderson led the charge on this, which is great to see my captain, our captain, doing that.
Yeah, and it's really good. I think, you know, as we said, all the stuff that's going on, it's easy to go and kind of look after yourself and what you're doing, but the fact that it's been recognised, it's so close to the community in Liverpool. We've done, you know, quite a bit of work with them before, and so prevalent in the Liverpool community, for them to go and support that, you know, because I'm sure there'll be worries at the food bank, and, you know, it's just getting hold of food in a couple of weeks might be an issue. But for Liverpool to actually go out, we're going to do this, and as you said, Jordan Henderson, I think, you know, footballers get a lot of stick because of the money they get, and, you know, they're self-isolating at the minute, but for them to go, actually, this is important to us and what we do, and, you know, our club, I think it's spot on.
Yeah, and you can donate if you want to, and if you're able to, at donorbox.org/fansupportingfoodbanks, where you can give an amount and support the food banks and the people in the community, because while this mad panic buying is going on, it's mad that these are the foods that most often get donated to food banks. It's pasta, it's your UHT milks, it's your dried foods and your tinned foods and stuff, and there's not on the shelves. So the most vulnerable of our society are going to be the ones that are going to go without, while people panic buy around the UK and the rest of the world. And it's important that we don't forget about these people, and as Henderson and the club and Everton as well are supporting. If you want to support and you're able to support, please do go and support. Anyway, that has been Red Men News. No comments today because we're not live. We'll have been texting during the debate, during the show even. What am I talking about here? We'll have been commenting live. We've premiered it, but you know that. Apologies, Ross. Great show, mate. Thank you very much for watching. We'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.